virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Two ships set sail for the Arctic, and their mission was to chart the Northwest Passage around the Canadian Arctic to the Pacific Ocean. So from far North Atlantic over the Canadian Arctic to the Pacific. That was the expedition. And the captain of the expedition was a guy called Sir John Franklin. And he'd hoped that this expedition would mark the turning point in Arctic exploration. And history shows that it was the turning point in Arctic exploration, not because of its success, but because of its failure. The ships never returned. There were 138 crew members on those ships, and all of them perished. And everyone who followed in the expedition's path to the North Pole learned a very, very important lesson from that expedition. And the lesson is, be prepared. Be prepared. John Franklin and his crew were not prepared. The voyage was projected to last 2 to 3 years, but Franklin only carried a 12-day supply of coal for the auxiliary steam engines. But what he lacked in fuel, he made up for in entertainment. So each ship carried 1,200-volume library, a hand organ, china place settings for both officers and men, cut glass wine goblets, and sterling silver cutlery. The soldiers carried no special clothing to protect them from the cold, only the uniforms of Her Majesty Queen Victoria's Royal Navy. Smart and noble, but thin and totally inadequate. And the inevitable happened. The two ships sailed ill-prepared into freezing waters, and ice coated the decks, the spars, and the rigging. The sea froze around the rudder and trapped the ships. The sailors set out to search for help, wearing their uniforms, carrying their belongings, and for the next 20 years, remains of the expedition were found strung out all over the frozen sea. The boat was later discovered containing the bodies of 35 men, including Sir John Franklin. Inuit Indians discovered a tent on the ice, and in it were 30 bodies. And you kind of read that and hear that, and you think, it's very, very strange, isn't it, how men could be so unprepared for the inevitable freeze. Stranger still how people today can go through life completely unprepared for the inevitable return of Jesus Christ. That's the theme of this section in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus tells us this story, this parable, to show what it'll be like when he returns as king, and to warn us to be ready. So let's just do a brief who's who in the story. Jesus is like the bridegroom. At the moment, he's gone away, but he'll come back. We're like the bridesmaids. We're waiting for the bridegroom to come back. And the wedding banquet stands for the great wedding banquet of heaven, the new creations often pictured in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is a great banquet, a great wedding banquet. A few points to make regarding Jesus' return from this parable. First, most obvious, Jesus will return. Jesus will return. We just see that in verse 5. The bridegroom is a long time in coming. Everyone falls asleep. But in verse 10, we see that he finally does arrive. And Jesus says again and again that he will definitely return. Again and again, the Bible tells us this. For every promise regarding the first coming of Jesus, the incarnation we call that, coming as a man in the flesh, born as a baby in Bethlehem, for every promise of his first coming, in the Bible there are 7 regarding his second coming. Much more promises in the Bible concerning his return than there are for his first coming. He's coming back. He came the first time. According to the promise, he will return again. So chapter 24, verse 42, he says, "Keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. Verse 44, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him. And for those who aren't sure about this, God has given a very sure sign that Jesus will return. It comes in just a few chapters' time in Matthew's Gospel, and that's the resurrection. It's that empty tomb and the appearing in the flesh of the Lord Jesus after death. And he says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And the resurrection is the sure proof of Jesus' return. Remember that Paul says this when he's preaching to the Greeks in Athens. He's speaking about the resurrection of Jesus. And he says this. He says, God has set a day, Acts 17, verse 31. He set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. And he's given proof of this to all men by rising him, that man, from the dead. The proof that Jesus will return is his resurrection from the dead. That stubborn historical fact, which is so difficult to argue against and that never goes away, Jesus is risen. And Jesus is in heaven now, waiting to come back. To come back to judge the world and to save his people. And some people might say, well, it's been such a long time, hasn't it? It's 2,000 years ago since Jesus said these words that he'd come back. Surely he's never going to come. But do you remember verse 5 in the story? It's maybe worth just having a look at it. It says this, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. He was a long time in coming. By our reckoning, Jesus will seem like a long time in coming. But that doesn't mean he'll never return. He will return. And the question is, are we ready? When you play hide and seek and you're it, what is it you say when you've counted? You know, you kind of count. You're meant to count to 15. You say, okay, I'm going to count down from 50, 49. 3, 2, 1, coming, ready or not. Coming, ready or not. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying in this passage here. I'm coming, ready or not. And unlike in the game, there's no place to hide. Jesus will find everyone. Everyone will have to stand before him. And he'll either find us ready or not ready. He'll find us either prepared or unprepared. So Jesus will return. We don't think enough about that, do we? Second thing is that Jesus' return will come suddenly and will take people by surprise. In Jewish marriage custom, the arrival of the bridegroom, the husband-to-be, was the key moment. But no one knew exactly when he would arrive, and it could be a long wait. And those waiting for him, they just simply had to be ready for his arrival. And in the story, Jesus tells of these 10 bridesmaids, of 5 of them are wise, and they're wise because they're prepared to meet the bridegroom. They've brought spare oil with them to keep their lamps burning through the night if necessary. So they're the wise ones, they're prepared. And then the other 5, they're foolish, and they're foolish because they're not prepared to meet the bridegroom. They didn't have any oil for their lamps. They haven't prepared for a long wait, and the bridegroom was a long time coming. It got late, the girls got drowsy, they fell asleep. And then all of a sudden at midnight, the cry rang out, he's here, the bridegroom's come, come out to meet him. And that's how it's going to be when Jesus returns to the world. He will arrive suddenly and unexpectedly, and people will be taken by surprise. One day, the sun will rise as normal, and people will get up as normal, and they'll have their breakfast as normal, and they'll go to work as normal, or to school as normal, or to the shops as normal. And that day will be the last day. And on that day, Jesus will return. In this section of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus gives us the impression that when he comes back, it'll just be like a normal day. Just in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking, and then the flood came. That's how it will be when the Son of Man comes. People just be going about in life as they are today. And that day will be the day, and they're summoned to stand before the king. Life's going to be going on in cities, in towns, in villages, just as it does now. Politics, business, school, homework, family life, sport, leisure, posting on social media, buying stuff. They'll be taking up people's attention just as they are today. The World Cup, sport, all those kind of things. And suddenly, in the midst of all that, the Lord Jesus will appear. At an hour it does not know, this startled world, surprised world, will be summoned to break off what it's doing and stand before its rightful king. Stop what you're doing and meet your king. That's an awesome thought. But that's what Jesus says. And that's how it will be. It'll take people by surprise. It'll be sudden. The third thing I think that we can learn from this parable is that when Jesus returns, many people will realize too late that they don't have what they need to be with him. Many people will realize too late that they don't have what they need to be with him. When the cry goes up, the bridegroom's here, the foolish girls realize they don't have what they need. They haven't got any oil. So they knit down to the shop to see if they can buy some. And when they come back, the bridegroom's already arrived and the door is shut. I have to knock, "Sir, open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." Too late. Too late. They weren't that bothered about having oil until the bridegroom arrived. Only then did they see the value of having oil in their lamps. They thought they didn't need oil, but they changed their minds. But it was too late. When Jesus returns, many people will realize that they don't have what they need to welcome him. They don't have repentance. They don't have faith. They don't have forgiveness of sins. They don't have the Spirit of God living in them. And these are things that most people at the moment are just not bothered about. Just not bothered about. Not really bothered about Jesus. Not bothered about his rescue. Not bothered about judgment. They don't think about these things. They don't think they need Jesus. They don't think they need the forgiveness and the life he brings. I was in York this morning. I went to church, came out of church in the city center. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people there for the Christmas markets. But none of them bothered. And the whole about Jesus and having what they need to welcome him when he comes back. One day they're going to change their minds. And when people see the king coming in all his glory, then they will know the value of repentance. They will know the value of saving faith in Jesus Christ. But it'll be too late. And it'll be absolutely horrific for those who are not ready. The door will be shut, and it will stay shut, and no amount of knocking will open it. And they'll be left outside in a place so terrible that Jesus says, you can see what he says about it in the previous chapter, verse 51. Just at the end there, he says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a terrible place. It's terrible to be shut out. But many people will realize that they don't have what they need to welcome him, and they will be shut out. Fourth thing, to learn from this parable is that when Jesus returns, those who are ready will enjoy the banquet, and they will enjoy a great future. When the bridegroom arrives, the girls who are ready, they go in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And it's brilliant to be on that side of the door. And that's what it'd be like for those who have prepared in advance and have put their faith in Jesus, put their trust in him. They'll be invited to take their place at the wedding banquet, the eternal party, never to leave. They will be with Jesus, and they will be safe forever. The door will be shut. It'll be shut on sin. No more sin. It'll be shut on Satan. It'll be shut on evil. It'll be shut on disease, shut on death, shut on poverty, shut on famine, shut on war. Shut on all pain, shut on all sadness. What a wonderful prospect. Never to be opened again. And everyone who looks forward to that big day will not be disappointed. Won't get to the party and be disappointed. It wasn't what you hoped for. It'll be better than you can ever imagine. It's worth being ready. When Jesus returns, those who are ready will enjoy a great future. The fifth thing to say is faith in Jesus cannot be borrowed. You can't borrow a relationship with Jesus. The foolish girls found it impossible to borrow oil when they realized they needed it, and they begged the wise ones to lend them some. But it's out of the question. And so it is with us. You know, we can't borrow a relationship with Jesus. Being around Christians doesn't make us Christians. Being born into and raised in a Christian family does not make us Christian. Doesn't make us Jesus' friend. Having Christian friends, being around Christians, being around those who are prepared doesn't make us prepared. Other people's oil cannot be used in our lamps. And we need to hear that because many people think that it can. We can't get to heaven on the faith of our parents. Can't get to heaven on the faith of our children or our spouses. Can't live on the faith of our Christian friends. The only way to be found ready on that day is if we believe in Jesus ourselves. No one can do that for us. There is no such thing as faith by proxy, no such thing as borrowed faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. And I think we need to say that because many people think that they're okay just because they hang around with Christians or because they're in the church or because their name's on a members list in a church or on an electoral roll. As you read those words, you know, I don't know you. You are mindful of those words that Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, of the start of Matthew, aren't we? Maybe it's worth turning to it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 onwards, page 972. Page 972. Sermon on the Mount's all about being genuine, being a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is how he comes to an end, verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day," judgment day, "many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" They expected to be in. They heard Jesus speak. They did things in his name. But he doesn't know them. So this is a message for people in churches, in Christian families. Don't presume you're okay on the merits of being in a church or being in a Christian family or even doing ministry. So what fear and panic must strike a person when the inevitable happens and they're not prepared? Just try and imagine that crew in 1845. What fear must have struck Sir John Franklin and his sailors when they become stuck in the ice? What anxiety to look for food and only to find silver. To dig in the chest for coats and to find only thin uniforms. To explore the ship for picks and axes only to find china and novels. Don't you know they would have swapped it in an instant for what they needed to get home safely? And what panic and anxiety struck the five foolish virgins when they realized that the bridegroom had arrived and they did not have what they needed to welcome him and to go into the feast with him. And what fear and terror will strike those who are not ready when King Jesus returns. Jesus says, "I'm returning, therefore keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour." You see that to be ready is to be known by Jesus. That's what it is to be ready. Why does the bridegroom refuse to open the door for the five foolish girls? Because he does not know them. He doesn't know them. A tell you the truth, I don't know you. To be ready is to be known by Jesus. It's to be his personal friend. It's to be one of his people. Matthew 1 verse, I think it's 21, isn't it? The message of the angel to Joseph, call him Jesus, which means the Lord saves, because he will save everyone from their sins. His people. His people. Those known to him. He will save them from their sins. To be ready is to be known by Jesus, to be his personal friend. And we become Jesus' friend by turning from our sin and putting our trust in him and what he does for us and what he's about to do. As we just read the next couple of chapters of Matthew's gospel on the cross. To know Jesus in Matthew is to repent of your sin. To know Jesus in Matthew's gospel is to believe, is to put your faith in Jesus. To know Jesus in Matthew's gospel is to hear his word and to trust it and to put it into practice. And that's the message again of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, it's, all these people are coming to him, and many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And then what comes after that, it's the parable of the two builders. One who builds on sand, one who builds on rock. And it's the one who on rock who survives the storm, Judgment Day. And the difference is, one hears Jesus' words and does nothing, and the other hears Jesus' words and puts them into practice. To be known by Jesus is to hear his words and to put them into practice. We put our trust in him and we give him his rightful place as King, as Lord and God, number one. And again, it's worth asking, God can see our hearts. If Jesus would come back right now, what side of the door would you be on? Outside or inside? Good news of Christmas is we can be ready. And we can make sure that we're on the inside. All of us tonight, we can leave that place, this building, on the right side. And if you're here and you're not on that right side, I'll urge you tonight, have a moment of quiet to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be ready. Please forgive me my sins. I trust all that you've done for me on the cross. I realize you're my only hope. And I'm begging you to have mercy on me and to save me. And if you pray that prayer and you're sincere, then you're welcome. He welcomes you into his family. And you'll never be asked to leave. You're on the right side of that door. It's why Christmas is such good news. Because God became a man, and he lived, and he died, and he rose again, we can be ready. Because he came a first time, we can be ready when he comes a second time. Because he came as Savior, we can meet him with confidence and hope and joy when he comes as Judge. And that's why this Christmas, we've got this wonderful opportunity to point people to Jesus, the Savior, and the Judge, and to say, make sure you're ready. People will be getting ready. They'll be saying, oh, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the big day? And we can say, there's a bigger day. And it's definitely coming. And Christmas is such good news because it means you can be ready. Are you ready for the big day? And we're going to have lots of opportunities this Christmas time. As a church, collectively, as individuals, in our scattered places, to point people to Jesus. And to plead with them to be ready. To plead with them, don't be conned. Don't be conned by the commercialism. You know, it's not what you have in life that counts. It's who you know. Who you know. Don't be seduced by the sentimentality of the season. It's not how you feel in life that counts. It's who you know. Do you know Jesus? Be prepared. Be wise. Know Jesus, and know hope. Just a moment of quiet for us to reflect on that. And as I say, if you're not currently ready, and in your heart you'll know that, there's an opportunity for you to cry out to Jesus. He's here with us. If you cry out to him for mercy, he will show you mercy. Let's just be quiet for a moment or two. maybe an opportunity as well for us to pray for people we know who aren't ready, and we're desperate for them to receive forgiveness of their sins, for them to cry out to Jesus, Lord Jesus, save me. Just pray for them now. Father, we thank you for our Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. And we thank you for all that he achieved when he came that first time 2,000 years ago. We thank you for his perfect life. We thank you for his atoning death on the cross. We thank you for his resurrection. And we praise you for the wonder and the glory and the miracle of forgiveness of sins in his name, of being right with you, of being known by the King and being a child of you, the true and living God. Praise you so much for your kindness and your mercy. And we pray that we would be watchful and we would be ready for his return. Please make our love burn bright for Jesus. May our loyalty endure for him. We pray that our faith would increase so that we rejoice on that day as we enter your eternal kingdom. Help us to be faithful in sharing the good news of Jesus' rescue, so that those who are not yet ready may be ready when you appear. Amen.